You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, welcome along and a happy new year. Thank you for joining us on this edition of The Punt, where we preview the first three televised fixtures in the Premier League in 2018. A little bit later on in the podcast, we'll also be hearing from Pete Farries on the Championship, Gav Puchalowski tackling League One, and Al Ross with his best bet in League Two. We're taking a little bit of a break from Europe this week, but there's still three Premier League games to get stuck into. Sam Norris here presenting the podcast this week, which means on punditing duties, it's Mr. Dave Kellner. How are you, DK?
I'm very well. It's a rarity to be sat this side of the studio, yeah, ready to give my in inverted commas expert opinion on the three matches we're going to preview on this podcast. Couldn't quite reel in Derek McGovern for another Punt podcast in the year 2017, but hopefully I'll be able to stand in and pick multiple losers like every single week. Hopefully we'll be able to find some winners on this edition of the podcast.
Yeah, he's managed to elude us for this week, but hopefully, as DK said, he can stand in and point us in the direction of a winner or two. We begin with the first televised fixture of the new year, coming on New Year's Day at the Amex. It's Brighton taking on Bournemouth. 12:30 kickoff this one, at 7-5 for Brighton, 21-10 for the draw, and Bournemouth priced up at 23-10. This is a hashtag your odds match as well, so if you can't find something you like on the William Hill console, you can tweet at William Hill with the hashtag your odds and our traders will do their very best to price it up for you. We've also got two enhanced odds on this game as well. Brighton to score in both halves was 130. That's gone out to 4-1, and both teams to score in the first half was 11-2. That is now 13-2. Without being disrespectful to these two sides, Dave, this might not whet the appetite of too many a neutral to kickstart the new year. Both sides come into this just one win in the last five in all competitions. But on the flip side, both will see this as a very presentable opportunity for 3 points.
Yeah, and that win for Bournemouth came in their last game as well. They beat Everton on Saturday. Ryan Fraser got a brace in that game. That was a timely victory for Bournemouth as well, because that ended a club record equaling run of 8 Premier League games without a win. They'd drawn 4 and lost 4 in that spell. So that was a big performance for Bournemouth. One they needed as well. Eddie Howe not coming under pressure, but he will have alleviated any type of burden on his shoulders with that victory and those 3 points. So that was a good result at home against Everton. I think the game really changed when Idrissa Gueye was withdrawn for Everton. That's when that match switched in Bournemouth's favour. He's such a vital cog in that Everton machine. Bournemouth then felt they could go on and win the game and deserved their 3 points in the end. That result came on the back of that 3-3 draw against West Ham. So scoring goals at the moment, Bournemouth. I just worry about the injury list that they've had recently. That's been stacking up. Federici's been out long term. Tyrone Mings and Brad Smith have been absentees long term as well. Josh King unlikely to play in this match, as is Junior Stanislas. So they've struggled. I think Eddie Howe's had to juggle things with those injuries, some of them short term, some of them long term. And that's proved difficult and troublesome for Eddie Howe. These two sides have actually met 2 times already this season in the span of 4 days back in mid-September, and Bournemouth eventually prevailed in both games, beating Brighton 1-0 in the Carabao Cup, and they beat them in the league at the Vitality Stadium earlier on in the season as well, winning that game 2-1. This is a very tough match to begin with and a difficult match to call, in my opinion. I'd sit on the fence here. I think the draw is the most likely outcome and the most solid option at 21-10. And I think both teams will be reasonably happy with the point. Brighton, they're trouble at the moment is scoring. And they've only scored once in their last six Premier League games. That goal coming from Pascal Gross, who has been a saviour for them this season in many respects as well, is their main provider and has that one goal. And they've only had 15 shots on target in their last six Premier League games, which is scant return. 2.5 shots on goal per game is very low for any Premier League side. So I think with Brighton failing to fire recently, Bournemouth with the injury list stacking up, the draw is the most likely option. I think it will be low scoring as well, so I'd definitely be with the draw and under 2.5 goals in this game, which is currently available at 23-10. I think that's a likely option here, but I don't see much happening in this encounter.
Yeah, 21-10 for the draw, and the fact that it's 23-10 for a draw and unders suggests that the traders don't think there'll be a great deal of goals in this. They're almost ruling out the chances of a 2-2, 3-3. If you fancy this one, will be level. But 21-10 the price on the draw. Do you think both of these sides will find three worse teams this year?
I think just about, yeah. Possibly. Bournemouth are in more danger than Brighton because Brighton picked up plenty of points early on in the campaign. But that Bournemouth win has just ease that pressure slightly, if there was any pressure on. I don't think there's any pressure on Eddie Howe, yeah. But pressure on the team. I think one interesting angle here, if you think there is going to be a goal in the game, I'm not convinced there will be a goal in this game, but Glenn Murray is going to be towards the top of the Brighton goal scoring list here. But he's had a spell at Bournemouth in the Premier League, yeah. In the past, and has played for Crystal Palace in the division as well. And he showed his worth when loaned from Bournemouth to Brighton when they got promoted. Brighton, he got 23 goals in 45 games in that promotion winning campaign. And he's got only 5 in 19 so far this season. And needs to come back to goal scoring form, but just going up against his former club, an interesting one there at 17-10 to score any time. But given that I think this game is going to be so low scoring, I wouldn't be interested in taking any of the Brighton or Bournemouth players in the goal scorer markets.
Straight down the middle then, Brighton versus Bournemouth. The draw is the selection, and it could well suit both teams down to the T, that draw result. So let's look at the televised game that is coming up later on New Year's Day. This is a 5:30 kickoff at Goodison Park. Everton entertaining Manchester United. Everton are 9-2 in the outright betting, 12-5 for the draw, and Manchester United a shade of odds on at 3-4. Once again, this is a Your Odds match here at William Hill. There's two enhanced odds on the console. Presently, Manchester United to win both halves was 16-5 out to 4-1, and Everton to score in both halves was 11-2, pushed out to 7-1. You're a man who's well placed to critique the Manchester United performance on the 30th of December. You were there at Old Trafford, and it was another lacklustre performance from Jose Mourinho's men.
That was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. Whenever I've been to Old Trafford, which admittedly isn't as often as I would like, yeah. Or as often as you would expect someone that supports Manchester United to go to the ground. But I did go. I went to that match on Saturday, and that's why I don't go. they were awful from minute one to minute 90, in my opinion. It was just an... I think for Jose Mourinho to come out afterwards and critique the performance of Craig Pawson,
yeah.
Was a tactic to deflect from his own players. When you watch Manchester City play, they interchange in midfield. There's a lot of movement. Manchester United were completely static in that game. I thought Paul Pogba, who has been criticised by Paul Scholes publicly for his performance in recent weeks, was a disaster in that quarterback role. Just kept on picking the ball up deep. Couldn't affect the game from that position. Was playing balls 5 and 10 yards sidewards, and did seem like he was strolling through the game with other things on his mind. When Romelu Lukaku had to go off, Manchester United didn't have a replacement for him, so Marcus Rashford went up top on his own, but didn't have the ability to hold the ball up successfully. It was another lacklustre Manchester United performance. And for the first time, I think, at Old Trafford this season, when the Mourinho chants were made after the game, I was sitting in the Stretford end, and there were boos for the first time. And I think there's a divide now between the faithful that want to get behind the team and still support Mourinho, and I think the realists that realise that he isn't the right man for the job anymore at Manchester United. And I'm not sure how they're going to break down Everton in this match.
Yeah, which is a terrible thing to say for a side who the fans expect them to be playing good football, expect them to be challenging for titles. And when you look at the reverse fixture earlier on in the season, they dismantled Everton, winning 4-0 in the end. It was a bit of a late show. They piled on the goals late in the game, but you just don't feel that this present incarnation of the Manchester United side has got a 4-0 victory in them at the moment.
No, and they've got injuries as well to worry about Manchester United. Eric Bailly is still out. He's been a big miss. Zlatan Ibrahimovic obviously would come in for Lukaku, who suffered that head injury in that game against Southampton, but he is out with a knee injury for a month or 2 months. Antonio Valencia's out as well. Chris Smalling is out, so they're having to make do with Lindelof and Phil Jones as that central defensive partnership. So it's going to be an intriguing match to see if Manchester United just won't go for the jugular. They've got all that attacking talent, and they seem to be told by Jose Mourinho, Rashford and Martial that protecting possession is paramount. Henrik Mkhitaryan had the worst game of his Manchester United career, which is saying something. He must be on some sort of bonus if he crosses the ball accurately into the box, Mkhitaryan. He was dreadful on the left side, and he got pulled early on in the second half, and Anthony Martial still looked like the bright spark on that left-hand side of midfield when he came on. I thought there were a couple of decent performances, encouraging performances for Manchester United players. Luke Shaw did well down the left-hand side. Nemanja Matic is still a man mountain in the centre of midfield. He protects the ball so well and gets Manchester United driving forward on those rare forays forward that Manchester United had in that match. But they're going up against an Everton side that are stubborn. Sam Allardyce set up so defensively in that game against Bournemouth, ended up losing that game by 2-1. Selected 11 players. By my reckoning, 8 of those players were defensively minded in that match, including Idrissa Gueye, who was the best player Everton had until he was withdrawn in the 71st minute. That cost Everton a point in that game, in my opinion. This will be 0-0, I think.
Okay.
I think 9-1 for the 0-0 draw in the game is just a fantastic price. Manchester United drew 0-0 against Southampton, were poor. West Brom hosted Everton. Everton went and got a point 0-0. Everton drew at home against Chelsea 0-0 in 2 of their last 3 matches. I'm not sure why 0-0 is such an attractive price at 9-1. I think that should be a genuine 13-2, 6-1 shot, 0-0 in the game. I can't see... Manchester United barely worked an opportunity against Southampton. I think 0-0's a stick on at 9-1. A very, very good price anyway at 9-1.
9-1 for the goalless draw, then the value in the game, according to Dave, in that Everton-Manchester United match, the late televised game on New Year's Day. On to the televised fixture on Tuesday then, coming up on the 2nd of January, 7:45 kickoff of the Liberty, Swansea taking on Spurs. 11-1 for Swansea, 9-2 for the draw. Spurs are 2-7 in the 90-minute market. Once again, this is a hashtag your odds game as well, and we've got enhanced odds on the console. No surprise to see Harry Kane involved. Harry Kane to score 2 or more goals was 12-5, now 3-1. On the back of a couple of hat-tricks in recent times, and Spurs to win by 4 or more goals. That was 5-1, pushed out to 6-1. Spurs have actually had a lucky draw over the festive period. It's such a congested time, fixture-wise, for all of the teams, but they've actually had a break since Boxing Day, Spurs. This will be their first game since Boxing Day. Swansea at the weekend getting the better of Watford in Carlos Carvalho's first game. He was a bit of a left-field appointment, Dave, given that he'd just been sacked by a championship club. But the immediate results appear to be positive. This, however, a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you don't often see... it's not happened, I don't think, since Brian Laws was sacked
when
by a championship...
Burnley.
Yeah, sacked by a championship club and then goes into the Premier League.
Which was also Sheffield Wednesday, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
So it's a strange appointment, but... they will be absolutely delighted with the way things turned out at Vicarage Road. Those two late goals from Ayew and Narsing grabbing the points in his first game in charge. This is the first home game as well, so the crowd will be bang behind him. I think a lot depends on the fitness of Harry Kane, because he's been suffering with flu. And Mauricio Pochettino said a couple of days ago that he's got cold like me, given that we're in England at the moment.
Yeah.
Or that he's in England at the moment. So he said that the doctor had been at his house and he was going to see how he'd react to the care and attention he's being given by these doctors.
How the other half live, eh, Dave?
Yeah, but precisely. I've had a cold recently. No one's been around to see me. I'm just expected to do this podcast without any assistance. So if he plays, he's so influential, and he's going for 3 consecutive Premier League hat-tricks as well, Harry Kane. If you're playing the hat-trick, by the way, and Kane does start, he is 10-1 to get a hat-trick in the game, which isn't a bad price, is it, really?
No.
If you think he plays going for 3 consecutive hat-tricks, that 10-1 could look kind of tasty, I suppose. But if he doesn't play, they don't have issues, Spurs, because they've got Fernando Llorente, who can come in and step into the breach. Heung-min Son, of course, has been in great form recently as well. But it makes it that little bit harder for Spurs to win this game. And do you want to be backing a team away from home in the Premier League against anyone at 2-7? I'm not so sure. We've seen Manchester City slip up at a short price in, this afternoon. I'm recording this on New Year's Eve against Crystal Palace. I think Heung-min Son to score in the game is reasonably priced, odds against at 21-20. I think he's a fantastic player, Heung-min Son. He's still underrated, in my opinion. He scored in that 5-2 win against Southampton in Spurs' most recent game, which came on Boxing Day. He's been in fine goal-scoring form, got a goal against Brighton, scored against Stoke, scored against Apoel, scored against Watford. So he's got 5 goals in his last 7 appearances for Spurs, which is no mean feat. He's got 6 goals in all competitions this season. And I think if Harry Kane is absent, he's going to be the one that steps up and fills his shoes. So 21-20 on Heung-min Son to score anytime is a good price. And I think Swansea will keep this interesting, this game. I don't think it's a trap spot by any means for Spurs, but given there's some optimism now with Swansea, with that recent result against Watford, Swansea +2 at 10-11, so Spurs 2 only win the game by 1, or Swansea to win and Swansea to draw the game. 10-11, I think it is a decent price on Swansea +2 in the match.
Okay, Swansea +2 goals then is 10-11. Also keep an eye on Heung-min Son as a goal scorer play in that match coming up on Tuesday night, of course. On to the NAP selections then now, DK. You started the year in absolutely flying form. It's gone a little bit south of late.
It's been downhill ever since then. I'm going with Crystal Palace +1 in the market. They take on a Southampton side who I did see recently. Southampton have got some really neat and tidy players. I think Sofiane Boufal is absolutely sensational. Some of his touches on Saturday night were fantastic. He's got a way of moving around the field, just glides around the field. I did Ashley Young at one point, and it was just quick feet, and Young was left chasing shadows. So they've got some neat and tidy players. I just worry about them scoring goals. Shane Long had a cast iron, gilt-edged opportunity to win that game for Southampton and missed, well, didn't miss. De Gea had to make a save, but it was a moment in the match where Shane Long should have scored from about 8 yards out and failed to put the ball in the corner. And he's gone on that ridiculously long run without scoring now, Long. So I just worry about their potency in front of goal, Southampton. Crystal Palace look fantastic. Wilfred Zaha is an exceptional player. And I think they will go to Southampton and get something from the game. So Crystal Palace +1 at 5-6. Just being a slightly more cautious as the year draws to a close. I am tempted by Palace at 100-30, but I'll go Palace +1 at 5-6 as my nap.
On a similar theme, I'm going to take Everton plus a goal as my nap in the Premier League this week. 11-10 is the price on offer. Yeah, similar thoughts to you about the game, really. You thought it could well end up 0-0. I could see that as a serious scoreline. 2 of Everton's last 3 matches have finished 0-0, and I think we could see a very similar blueprint to the one applied to deal with Chelsea a few weeks ago. They got the 0-0 draw out of that. If you'd have played Everton +1, it would have landed in 8 of their last 9 games in total. The only time it wouldn't have landed would be that that Bournemouth fixture at the weekend, of course. If you'd have played Manchester United's opponents plus a goal, that would have landed in their last four in all competition, including the League Cup defeat to Bristol City there. I just think Everton will set up very resolutely. They'll be looking for the point. It'll be a good organised defensive display, as we've come to expect from Sam Allardyce's teams. I'm not too convinced Manchester United have got the appropriate weapons at the moment to break down a resolute side like that. So, yeah, plus a goal Everton for me, I'll throw that in. It's just an app double this week with just the two of us in. 2.81, but hopefully we can start the year off right.
Yeah, and you're standing in for Andy Excel, aren't you?
Yes.
For the purposes of this podcast. So you're, yes, Andy Excel, I'm Dave Kellner. Derek McGovern's just sat at home,
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
So he's not put an app in this week, but we're going to. We've got some more naps to come, haven't we?
We do, yes.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and yes, Leeds have been playing brilliantly. Birmingham not winning games. Terrible. There's only one possible result here, isn't there, guys? Okay, well, on to the next one. And this week, it's going to be Middlesbrough to lose at Preston. Preston are 13-8 on New Year's Day, and I'm going to take Alex Neil's men. Defensively very good against Cardiff. They got the goal late on, of course, that gave them the victory. But Preston haven't lost any league game since the 4th of November. For Middlesbrough, well, they won their last game under Gary Monk, didn't they? Part of some improving fortunes. But, of course, straight off the back of that, they won against Bolton, and now Tony Pulis has taken over. They lost the opening game on Saturday to Aston Villa 1-0, Robert Snodgrass grabbing that. Rumours are that all is not well in the dressing room at Middlesbrough at the moment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But certainly, I want to be with a side who haven't lost since November, who are very settled, rather than a Middlesbrough side who spent a lot of money in the summer, yet don't seem to have settled down both on the field and, at the moment, a semi-turbulent time behind the scenes as well. Preston North End at 13-8, my nap of New Year's Day. Let's head to Gav Puszczalowski for his thoughts on League One.
Happy New Year, and 2018 starts with a bang with a full fixture list in League One. And there's one price, one team that jumps out at me as a really big nap for Monday afternoon, and that has to be Scunthorpe at 3-4 to beat hapless, hopeless Bury, who look like they're on a trip down to League Two. With the investment in the players bought at the start of the season by the then manager Lee Clark, I thought Bury could be top six. Happens to be that they are bottom. 5 points adrift of second bottom Rochdale and 9 points adrift of safety. They've not won in five games, they've not scored in five games, they've lost the last four, and they're conceding threes and threes and twos. Against Scunthorpe, they could be in for a very tough time, and I think Scunthorpe not only play at 3-4 to win the game, which is my nap, but also minus a goal for Scunthorpe at 15-8. Scunthorpe got a really good 2-2 draw away at Blackburn on Saturday, 1-3-2 at Blackpool, 1-3-1 at home to Southend, and scored two against MK Dons as well. So Bury not winning anything and not scoring goals against Scunthorpe United, who have scored 10 goals in their last four games. So my nap selection to start the new year is Scunthorpe at 3-4 to win at home to Bury. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Swindon did for the nap on Saturday with a fine performance and deserved win over second place Notts County at home, and it appears the rot there is over, and they're going from being opposed as the nap to being backed, because their Monday fixture sees them at a big price in a highly winnable fixture. The victory over County was their second win in three. It was a rare home victory, but now they're away, and as I keep saying on this pod, they are the best away side in League Two. 8 wins in 11 away from home this season. And with this bounce, I'd expect them to win at second bottom Barnet, who'll find it hard to bounce back from the disappointment of just 48 hours earlier, where it looked like they'd finally ended their funk with a very good point at Exeter, only to concede an injury time strike to give them a third straight defeat, a fourth loss in five. And no side have lost more at home this season in League Two than Barnet. Just 3 wins on their own patch, 6 defeats in 12, including 3 of the last 4. Add into that the fact that Swindon's deeper squad will cope more easily with the hectic schedule, and you can see why we are starting the new year with the same bet that did us so proud so often for the last half of 2017. It is Swindon away, and the price is 6-4.
Thank you very much for listening to the Punt Podcast. We will return on Wednesday to preview the next round of televised Premier League fixtures, including, of course, the mouth-watering tie between Arsenal and Chelsea. My thanks to Pete Farries, who tackled the Championship for us, Gav Puchalowski looking at League One, and now Ross, who has previewed League Two this week. My thanks also to Dave Kellner, who was with us a little bit earlier on the Premier League. Best of luck with all your bets over the new year period. Do check out all the football on the William Hill website, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Punt.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.